I'd like to talk about the assured church this morning. I'd like to read these eight verses to start. I'd like to also make some comments after this, because I think we need to kind of think through a little bit of what's really being said here and make sure that we are somewhat able to understand. That's the key about the Word of God, is that we want to be at a place, and I say this to my own life, I want to be at a place where I can hear God's Word, that I understand things. I understand how some things are uniquely fit together. A third of the Bible is prophetic. It talks about our future. And so often what happens is that we seem to make Christianity just about the here and now. We have a glorious future that God has promised to us. And our God operates on His timetable. He put you here for a purpose, so that you would know Him and you'd have eternal life. We are all born into sin and we need to be saved. And God wants that more than you know. And He's done everything He can to save sinners. Let's read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. The apostle says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ has come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, and the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. Only for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." Sobering words from God's Word. And I just wanted to set that up because I think there's important things that are coming upon this earth. Thank the Lord that God has the believer. If you are a born-again believer in Jesus, and if you've never been born again, you should understand what that really means. It's not becoming some freaky weirdo, which a lot of people think, oh, if I become one of those born-agains, you know, I'm weird. Well, God will use your new life to make truth known. God will give you a strength that you didn't have before. And that is something that we're all in need of all the time, to live as the people that He's made us to be. The Scripture says that we're holy and blameless in His sight. Do you ever feel like, oh my goodness, He's calling me holy and blameless? Are you kidding me? That's what God can do. God can establish in Jesus Christ all the righteousness of God, all met in Him, and then give His righteousness to people who receive Him. That's a fabulous truth that we never want to get away from. But for a moment, I want to digress, okay? Here is a true sign of a gullible person. Tell them you saw their picture beside the word gullible in the dictionary. And if they open their eyes as wide as Adam Schiff, like really big, you got a live one. Really? My picture's in the dictionary? Yes, it's in the dictionary. Okay, you got a gullible person. How many people have been scammed who have made, possibly even here this morning? How many people have been scammed or have been nearly scammed by somebody over the phone? Ouch, right? You'll never do that again. This is the IRS. We find that you owe us money. And we're going to freeze all your accounts, right? Remember, it is tax season. If you get a call like this, the IRS will never call you. They don't do this. But people are gullible because fear has a very powerful reality on our lives. So you want to watch out for that. But when they tell you, you pay us $285, we take all major credit cards and we will not freeze your accounts. There have been millions of people, I am not making this up, millions of people every year get scammed. Social Security calls, some threatening call to some vulnerable soul, and they make a decision and they wish they never made it. People scammed out of millions of dollars. Well, we're going to help you, brother. Okay, you need this message. All right. Actually, Dennis has probably given me some of the input to this message. When it comes to spiritual matters, there are a lot of scammers. There are truth and there are lies. Do you know how to test the spirits according to the Word of God? The Bible says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. 1 John 4:1. So you and I need to know how to test the spirits. Do you know? And it's very interesting. We think about the Antichrist that we're going to look at over the next 2 weeks. He is going to be accompanied by signs, wonders, and miracles. I hear so much today coming at all of us about signs, wonders, and miracles. Do you know how hungry human hearts are for signs, wonders, and miracles? We're hungry. Now, the Bible says that the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. You want everything you need, you have in Him. And He can quiet your soul and your heart so that the miracles that you might be craving and the breakthroughs and the practical hard work of a financial peace university, some of that stuff in all of us have said, if I only had more money, if I could only do more, what are you doing now today to make a full provision for God's Holy Spirit to be at work in your life? Life is so much more than scams and false dreams and false visions and all this stuff. Matter of fact, God takes falsehood very seriously, and He stands in direct opposition of it. When you hear statements like, I don't believe Jesus is the only way to God, what matters is if you're just sincere. All of us have heard statements like that. What, sincerely wrong? Right? Please make no mistake, Jesus came to save sinners. Not if I do my level best and my bad outweighs my good. I'm good, right? People, we are the king and queens of rationalization. We are just good at it. I've done it myself, maybe just once. No, just kidding. Probably a lot more than that. I can find myself rationalizing things. I'm like, wait a minute, you know, by the grace of God, and that's why you have to land your feet, as we sang this morning, on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Our heart and our mind can often play with us and take us to places that God does not really, He does not want us to be there. Now, can He use that stuff that we perhaps drifted towards, that we drift towards error? We drift towards receiving maybe even satanic accusation against our own self. I've talked about this. I've used this a lot lately. The should have, the could have, the would have. They're all realities in our life. And if you've been raised in a religious system, and you were taught a works-based salvation, you need to ask God to help you understand Ephesians 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's not a result of works, right? So that no one can boast. You can't brag that you are good enough to God looked on me favorably because I'm so special. You know, I used to think that. I'm just going to be honest. I'm a good kid. And that's where I think rationalization is part of the fallen nature that we were born with. And God knows how desperate we need to be saved, and He's got the remedy of remedies. And we should be so freed. Even when I stand up here, I feel very freed up. Sometimes when I get out in that real world, right, I need the power of the Holy Spirit to help me to make this gospel known to people all around me. Let the righteous judge of all the earth declare you not guilty. The sole basis of the substitutionary death of Jesus was in the place of every sinner. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That offer stands right now in 2020. Some people wonder if they're of the elect. Well, if you want to know you're of the elect, believe the gospel. We are the elect of God who've trusted Christ, and we have an absolute guaranteed future. Whether we go to heaven just like we were a disaster and a mess, and that is not God's will. And I would pray this morning that if somehow any of us is struggling to truly live under the help and the aid of the Spirit of God, as we learn the Word of God, that you would cut yourself some slack. Sometimes I think in one sense, you've got to stop beating yourself up with guilt, condemnation, all the things. You know, this is a long-suffering journey, not just for me, but for you. We are going to be long-suffering. That's the body of Christ. We're a long-suffering people. Scripture tells us to be those people, to be kind-hearted, right? To be tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also forgave you. There's going to be some really hard stuff this side of heaven to forgive people for. You're going to have all reasons to hold them hostage, emotionally, mentally. It can happen to all of us. There are times I see stuff and I'm like, how could that be? Why did that happen? What were they thinking? What was I thinking? Sometimes I have to remind myself, by the grace of God, through the help of the Spirit of God, I can live a successful Christian life. Amen. Okay. See, the Lord Jesus loves you so much, He bled for you. That's why when we take the Lord's table, we are essentially reminding ourselves that a perfect blood sacrifice was spilt for us. It's a continual reminder. God wants you to enjoy. The Bible says this is so great a salvation, right? It's so great. It's so awesome. Sometimes we come to church, we do the church thing, and we get out of here, and it's like we don't feel all that changed. But you have to keep looking to Jesus every moment. Don't get tired of looking to Him. He loves you. He wants you to know Him. He died for you. Not only did He die for you, He rose again for you. He rose again. And Easter is coming. Let's help people come to Jesus. Let's be thinking about that more and more. And as a result of becoming a new man in Christ, you've crossed over the line of Satan's domain into God's domain. This reality has been really impressed upon me lately, that I'm an enemy of Satan. You are too, if you're a believer. Satan hates what God has done in your life. He can't take it away. He can't take it back. You are a child of the living God, and that destination, that promise is sealed by the very Spirit of God, because Christ is good on His promises. But Satan is a very real enemy. And you and I need to know how to stand firm in the faith. That's what I believe 2 Thessalonians is all about. Really, these two epistles. Paul encompasses both in the first letter and the second letter everything he taught them for the short time that he was with them. And then he writes them back because people have come in with these sort of apostolic letters, authority letters. You have to be very careful who you listen to. Very, very careful and cautious. Your main guidance, your main resource, your main manual is always going to be the Word of God. You stick with the Scripture. Stick with what God says. If God be for you, who could be against you? Life can blow apart for all of us. But see, what God wants us to do is to know that I stand on Christ. I stand on solid, firm foundation. My feet sometimes might slip. Oh my goodness, but my God brings me back in. It's the story where the guy who is boxing, he's much like the pastor can feel this way. I'm just done. I'm just going to throw in the towel, and God throws it right back at me. He's like, you're not done. And see, so many times in our own lives, we have to remember that God has a plan for your life. Now, can we be uncooperative with God? Yes, we can. And is that, Scripture calls that sowing and reaping. If you sow to your flesh, and you want to know what sowing to your flesh really looks like, is that you're only doing what seems to be the expedient thing. I'm lonely, I have this need, I have to do this right now. And you start to feed that flesh. It can be pornography. I'm not saying that that's, you know, no one here has ever battled that one, right? It could be that. It could be spinning credit cards when you don't have the money to pay for them because, you know, I need this for me, you know. And there are times, and again, this is not a guilt or load you up with tons of condemnation or anything like that. But the reality is feeding your flesh can just be doing what's expedient. I just need this. I need this fix. I need that. I need this. I got to go. It's for me. It's for me. And so you start to feed your own flesh because that's what seems to be what's necessary for you to be happy. And we all know that the flesh can't make you happy. I said to my wife this morning, I said, building our local church is the very best investment we could ever do with our lives. Because it's people, it's you, it's what God wants to do as we build together. See, this is the things that really matter, is that we are investing in one another, because this stuff will matter for all eternity. It will absolutely matter. So we're no longer, if we're in Christ today, we are no longer God's enemy, because God reconciled us to himself by giving us Jesus, right? He put all of his righteousness is in Jesus. He is the full expression of God's righteousness in human form. He is God in human flesh, and he deals with something so severe that's affected every one of us. It's called sin, and Christ takes on him all the sin of the world when he dies upon that cross, including our old nature. We were nailed with him on that cross. You may have a hard time seeing that, but that's what happened at the cross. And God says, you stand completely and totally reconciled to him this side of heaven. The believer who is a person who has received Christ, who is a believer, they are fully righteous in God's eyes. You're fully ready to go. Ready to go, okay? You're ready to see God at any time. And you should be enjoying every moment of that, which I have to tell you, most of us struggle with enjoying every moment just because this world seems to have many things to get us down. You know, this old world is getting me down, right? Is that a James Taylor song, right? It seems like there's a lot of stuff to pull us down. I think about my own parents, and I think about things that are coming. I think about dear loved ones, dear friends, and the time where they won't be here anymore. It's like, man, it's like there's still times, there's still the sorrow of death this time, this side of heaven. And yet I want so much to have my eyes continually fixed on what really belongs to me, what really belongs to you. That's what we're building one another up. We live in a world that's on a crash course with God, in a world that's on a crash course with God. Do you realize that? God created us not for ourselves, not just for our just enjoying the pleasures of this earth. He made us for himself, that we would enjoy him. But because of what we came in this world with, that thing is in the way. And Jesus moves it out of the way so that right now you can have full fellowship with God. Are you enjoying your fellowship with Jesus today? Amen. Yeah, we all can grow and continue to understand this better. I want you to think about a couple things here. We are in Satan's territory, if you would. Satan loves to keep people held in bondage to sin. And I love what Jesus said when the 70 come back and they've been endued with power, and they say to Jesus, even the demons, we have power over them. And he says, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. He says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. The Lord Jesus witnessed. He saw Satan falling, because in Isaiah chapter 14, you can see the heart of Satan saying, I will be like the Most High. See, Satan's number one sin is he wanted to be God. Isn't it amazing that God can create us with this free will, and we can choose him or we can reject him? Every created being that God has made, intelligent being, he's made them to have a choice. And even the angels were given will. They could worship God. A third of them fell. A third of them were cast out of heaven, and they went with Satan. And Satan continues to want to bring destruction on the lives of people on this earth. Just look at the lives of people that have been affected. And as we look at this passage this morning, we talk about lawlessness. We have babies that are murdered every day, pulled right out of the womb and ripped out of the womb. We are in a time of lawlessness. We have marriage completely redefined. We have all types of stuff that just, like, my goodness. We have this crazy political climate that seems to never get any better. I'm like, oh my goodness, like what, you know, the things that America was built on and the freedom that our founding fathers had, the freedom to worship and know God, and how that's being eroded right in our midst every day. It seems like if you stand for truth, it's like you're a weirdo, right? You're not. I'm going to tell you, you're not. You're standing for what's right and good, and God loves righteousness and justice because we all win under that. You see what's happened to so many people. You see the shootings. We had a security meeting here yesterday to talk about the future security, not only these premises, but premises that will be future. And we have to be thinking about shootings in churches. We watched a shooting happen in a church in Texas yesterday. It is utterly disturbing. It is utterly disturbing that we have to be thinking. But this is the enemy who is against us. Jesus said in John chapter 10, the thief comes to only steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. God wants you to have a full life in Christ. And Jesus, speaking in Matthew 24 about the coming tribulation upon the earth, he says, for false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform great signs and wonders so as to deceive, even possible, even God's chosen ones. That's why when we are messing around with the occult or any other thing, we are playing with a spiritual domain that has great consequence. And that's why when God gave Israel great warning, don't consult, don't be going into the realm that you don't belong in. This is the realm that we can trust God. There is a spiritual realm. It is large. It is encompassing. It is vast. And right now, if you're in Christ today, you are on the realm where God is. You are in Christ this morning, and you want to be there. And you want to know how to continue to live in light of His coming. And that's what 2 Thessalonians is talking about. Paul would say, and before I get there, I'd like to just share this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, but what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in things of which they boast. Paul's talking about the false teachers who are trying to pull these believers away from their true affection to Jesus. He says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers. See, there's always some seductive thing in a spiritual lie. Something that's enticing. Something that can grab you. Something that says, hey, if you just send me your money and I give you this piece of material or cloth, there will be a blessing on it. And you just hold, you walk around with that piece of cloth and God will pour out His blessing on your life. See, that is a seductive lie because people will latch on to things if they think horoscopes, for instance. People I know, people read their horoscope because they think there's something in that. That is messing with a realm that God says belongs to Him. And everything needs in our lives should be subjected to Him. But Paul says here, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing of his ministers also to transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. The warning to all of us is to make sure who we're listening to be discerning, to know. Can you recognize a false teacher? I believe false teachers basically are promising you something only here and now. That's often the promise, something here and now. It's on the immediate realm of breakthrough. Do you realize that you and I stood as enemies of God and Christ reconciled us fully? He promises to make us new. He promises to wash all of our sin away, make us totally ready for heaven, take the fear out of our own soul that when I stand before a holy God, I am totally righteous before Him. Is that you this morning? Do you know about that? Do you have that confidence in your own heart this morning? I am right with God. God would have the believer to have assurance in Him. Do not play the game that He loves me not, with the petal on the flowers. You ever play that game? Remember that game? Loves me not. She loves me. Not my wife. She just says, I love him. I love him. I love him. I love him. All day long. But think about our the moments in our life, the moments of weakness. Sometimes I know, I've talked to people, they question God's love for them. These can go really deep. This can be almost a sense of not even letting you move forward in your Christian life. It's just it's an area of our lives that you and I have to settle. And see, if I was only a much better Christian, God would really love me. No, my friend, He's already fully demonstrated that He loves you. And Jesus promised that I'm going to send my Comforter. See, that's the Holy Spirit. When you became a believer, the moment that you believed the gospel, that Christ not only comes in and seals you, He's the Comforter. He wants you to have this assurance. He wants you to know this. He wants you to love Him. He wants you to be looking forward to seeing Him face to face. Through thick and thin, through life, through ups and downs, love, learn to love the Lord. God is making everything right. It will be done by Him in His time, by His power. I was thinking about the Lord in Numbers chapter 11. God says to Moses, "Is the Lord's arm too short? Now you will see whether or not what I say will come true for you." If you just look at what God did with the Jewish people, bringing them out of bondage and slavery, taking care of them, providing for them. Yeah, did they go kicking and screaming? A lot of times they did, and they wander around a long time. And sometimes you and I can wander around a long time because we fail to embrace what God has said belongs to us. And that's what happened to these Thessalonians. They seem to be thinking that all the trouble that's going on in their life is in some way an indication that the day of the Lord is on them. I read something last night by, you know, well-meaning Christians and pastors who believe that Christians are going through the tribulation period. I mean, these are people that if I mentioned their names right now, you would say, "Oh, I recognize his name." And they are sincere. They seem to, you know, love God, but they forget the fact of what this passage really says. And I see in verses 1 and 2 here, we are assured, we want to be the assured church because of the Lord's promise. And he says it right here, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled." Do you know that God wants your mind on him and not so much of what's happening in this world? This is the beautiful thing about knowing Christ, is that even when my life, your life can be looking like it's not going really well, God does not want your mind troubled or shaken. Think about that. It's just keeping our mind fixed on Jesus, who's the author and the perfecter of our faith. And see, a lot of times it's by spirit or by word. It could be that somebody has something that they believe you need. I've seen scams come into the church. "I have an amazing business opportunity that will bless your entire congregation. Just let me have them for an evening," you know. And then it's like, you know, you got to sign up and give them money, and there's all these ways. And see, I think we are easily deceived because we want something better. And so often what God wants, and God has employment for all of us. He has a job for all. He's got something for us to do. He can provide for us. He'll lead you. There's no real shortcut in life. There really isn't. There's no shortcut to Christian growth. There's no shortcut to wealth. I mean, you hear these people, think of these football players, like, oh, suddenly making like $11 million a year, and two seasons they're done, and they squander all their money, and now they're in trouble. There are people who've inherited large sums of money and can't handle it. Money's not the answer to our problems. Money really isn't. Money absolutely can help, and it's needed, and I get that. I need it too. Just telling you. I get that, right? But in this case, we can sometimes be victims of just sudden things that might make us feel better. Or a word or a letter, you know, "Oh, I found this new book and this pastor says XYZ, but it doesn't really square up with Pastor what you're saying to me." And it's sometimes we get hoodwinked, we get snookered, and all of a sudden it's like that really wasn't. All of us have learned some hard lessons in life. yet by the grace of God, we continue to can learn what God wants us to learn. Amen? So God does not want us to be shaken, especially here where Paul is pointing out to them, in other words, that you have missed the rapture, that the day of the Lord. Some pastors believe that Christians are just going right into the tribulation because God's going to pour his wrath out and those who endure to the end will be saved. That's not correct. The Bible says that you and I are going to be saved from the wrath to come. And in that time, what this particular set of scriptures is talking about is one who's going to rise up, the Antichrist, with all types of signs and lying wonders. He is going to make a false peace treaty with the nation of Israel. There will be, and right now, there are efforts all over Israel to build this coming third temple, to reinstitute sacrifice. These people are ready. They are looking for. They are looking for their Messiah. They are Messiah hungry. Can you imagine if the rapture happens today and all these people, all these Christians, and I say that when I say Christian, I mean in the real sense, Christians who've already received Christ this side of heaven. You can be Christian in name and not be a Christian. A church doesn't make you a Christian. Jesus makes you a Christian. It's relationship with him. You're a believer in him. You've settled your full debt on him. Whatever I owed God in terms of my sin, Jesus took care of that for me. Are you living like that this morning? Do you live in that sense of total freedom? I am a freed person. And see, the problem that happens to a lot of people is if you promise you'll follow God all the days of your life, then you can be saved. No, you can be saved right now in your brokenness and whatever state your life is in right now. And if you're not saved today, this is the day to be saved. Isn't that awesome? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's one look at Jesus. It's one look at him. I know he died for me. I know he was buried for me. And I know he's coming again for me. He's risen again. And he's coming. Yes. Okay. Let's keep going here. Okay. A little water. So God's got you covered. This is his promise to you. And think about this. Number two, you are assured by his protection. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. A lot of people believe that there's going to be this massive apostasy, that all these people are going to suddenly defect. I think it's hard to say that exactly what that would look like. But the falling away, if you look at even the earliest of English Bibles, before the King James, they talked about unless the departing comes first. These are like going back even 200-300 years before the English translation was common, perhaps moved more to indicating that there would be a great apostasy. It could be some apostasy, because I think we're seeing evidence of that, but I really believe this is speaking of the rapture, when the believers are taken off the earth, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. In other words, he's a son of rebellion. He is completely committed to the destruction of human beings. And human beings will accept him as their Messiah, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is an energized person who will do things like never before, and people will be utterly mesmerized. This cannot happen if the church is here. It just cannot happen, because right now the Holy Spirit is restraining. He is the restrainer on the believer. That thing that pricks your, or that person that pricks our conscience, that person who tells us, wait a minute, hey, that person needs help. I just can't. Bill Newbert's driving down the street, rolls his van over, and a pastor comes up behind him and says, I just want to make sure you're okay. Instead of just blowing right by Bill, people had concern for people for Bill that day. See, there's so many times where I don't even think how you realize God is using us to restrain evil. Think about someone's bad day at the Dunkin' Donuts counter, right? And somebody comes up and they're really kind to the person at the drive-thru. That person's ready to make a really bad decision, and all of a sudden somebody comes and they give them a little bit of encouragement. And somehow it changes their tone or their attitude. See, this is the stuff that I believe God is using the church to do. It's when you're kind to people because Christ has been kind to you, and you want that kindness to flow out of your own life. You want that generosity to come. It's like no sweat. It's like, I just want to do this. See, that's the Holy Spirit restraining evil. Isn't that a good thing, what God is doing? And see, this is how, I don't believe that this whole falling away, this whole thing can happen apart from the rapture of the church. Because God has no need to put the believer through punishment in the sense of his wrath upon the earth, because his wrath has already been fully poured out on his Son at the cross. And he did that for you. So why does God need to put you through some torturous tribulation period? Because the nation of Israel, after all this is done, even after this Antichrist sets himself up to beat God, and they believe him and they trust him, he's going to betray them. You believe the lie. And then Christ is going to come. And they're going to look upon Jesus, whom they pierced. And they're going to repent. And they're going to realize, we've given our loyalty, we've given our lives to something. And at that time, if you receive the mark of the beast, you will have no chance to be saved, because you will be under his sway and under his dominion. That's why we urge people now to know Christ and to be saved, truly saved, to know Christ. Amen. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. My goodness, this is an enemy of God, and it's Satan. It's the Antichrist. Do you not remember that when I was still with you? See how the apostle brings them back to assurance? This whole letter is about assurance. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And the he here is capitalized, because basically this is speaking of the church and the presence of the Holy Spirit right now on this earth in every believer. I think of Mike Mangum right here sitting front row. Mike has been giving his life to chaplaincy for the Onset to Fire Department. And I see some great things happening. You know, as people who rise up to serve God, it's like God's using guys like Mike to encourage these firefighters. Mike's being used by God to help to restrain evil, right? Because you can become very cynical as a firefighter or a person who work in EMS or a police. Think about what these police officers go through every day. They pull somebody over and they take a bullet. I mean, I've never seen so many police shootings in my entire life. I'm like, I've been on this planet a little bit of time here, 50 years, okay? You guys only think I'm 30. Okay, let's finally get the truth out, all right? But I've never seen such increased amounts of rebellion. And I used to think, like, I don't really have to lock my doors anymore. Like, I used to not lock our cars. Now I'm like, we're just cautious. It's like, we're cautious in the church because we have an increased amount of lawlessness. And right now, the Holy Spirit, you can thank him that he's the one who's restraining evil. He's restraining. At some point when God says, okay, church, come home, God can pull us off this planet in a second. He raises his own son from the dead. Can he not do the same for you? This is a hallelujah. The graves will open. People who knew Christ are going to receive their brand new body. We who are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up to be with the Lord, to be forever with the Lord. All of this trial, this tribulation, all that we go through this side of heaven, God absolutely knows. There's not one thing in your life this morning that God doesn't know about. He already knows. He knows your propensity towards evil. He certainly knows your propensity towards good. And I think what we want to do is make sure that we are under the control of the Spirit of God. And then the lawless one will will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. God ultimately has the final and last word on Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. There is going to be a time on this planet like never before. I believe that could break open at any time. I am not a date-setting pastor, would never be, but I was looking at this, and I'm going to close with this. There are at least 10 factors that will identify the Antichrist when he comes to power. Only one person in history will fit every one of these factors. There have been many prototypes, but there will be only one Antichrist. He will rise to power in the last days. Daniel 8, verses 19 through 23. He will not come on the world scene until after the rapture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. He will rule the entire world. Think about the power. For this temporary period, this one leader will rule this world. You think about the political difficulties that we're having right now in our own country. There are a lot of things right now that it appears that many of the world's economies are under great collapse. Germany, Greece for many years, all over Europe. We hear things happening in China, things that are seeming to be getting the world's attention. There will be one who will bring this together, temporarily speaking, that is. He will rule the entire world. He will rule by international consent. In other words, everybody's going to buy into this guy. He will rule by deception. He will be intelligent and persuasive. He will control the global economy. That's why when it says you will not be able to buy or sell, we talked about last week that there's so much surveillance now in the world. You know, people can just like slip their phone in and they're all their checkbook, everything's on their phone. And if you get a little microchip implanted in your skin, and I strongly warn everybody here, do not take that mark. If you're a true believer, you won't even be here for that. If you know Christ this morning, you will not even be here. But people who are left here, they're going to be left to take these marks. There's going to be one on their forehead, one on their hand, and they cannot buy or sell without this. This is how the world economy will be held together. He will be assisted by the false prophet, Revelation 13. He will make and break a peace treaty with Israel, Daniel 9:26, and he will claim to be God. God will not share his glory with anyone else. It is utterly amazing how God is going to use these final years of human history to bring forth Jesus Christ once again to the world to say, this is the world's true Messiah. And then when the scripture says, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. See, we've bowed the knee right now, right? Have you bowed your knee this morning to Jesus? Let's pray together. Lord, I would pray this morning that every knee, every heart in this room would be bowed to your Lordship. That would already say, he's mine. I've trusted him. I know him. I am not leaving this planet without knowing for sure that Jesus Christ has taken care of my sin in full. And I am forever right with him. Lord, help us to be wise in these days where many people are touting signs, wonders, miracles, all types of things. And even the very believers can be deceived by this, as if they don't already have enough in Jesus. Lord, I pray this morning for all of every heart in this room that we would trust you, that we would once again renew our commitment to knowing that as things will come upon this earth, that as things become increasingly more difficult, that we would hold fast to you, that we would love you, we would serve you, we would hold out the grace of God as we consider our planning for a new building. Help us to do what we can do. Help us to be used to restrain evil. Help us to bless people, Lord, who do not know you. May this church be an open door for the gospel all the time. That our lives and the very lives of the people that you're transforming in this place, that as we give unto the Lord, as we serve you, Lord, that we do this as we see the day approaching. If anyone this morning says, Pastor, please pray for me because I've lost my way and I feel in one sense that I am compelled to have Christ have authority over my life,
that I would know He's my Lord, He's my Savior. Anybody here this morning that would say, that is me. Anyone here, I'd like to pray for you. Father, I pray that Your Spirit would bring us further into understanding, that we would not be living so much in fear, but we would be living in faithfulness, because we know that the wrath of God was already poured out in Your Son. And we are in Him. We are secure. We stand on a firm foundation. We want to be the assured church that when we see Jesus, we will be like Him. We will be made as He is. We will be fully righteous. We will, all the things that we've longed for, all the things that we anticipate, we will be totally and utterly perfect in Your sight. We thank You for that guarantee and that promise. In Jesus' name, amen.